You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. Good morning. First of all, I know there's a lot of you that are here for the first time guests with us, and we are glad that you're here at MC3. Anyway, my name is Sean. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're glad that you're here today. And obviously, we forgot to mention that the preschool kids are also in here with us right now, so it's going to be a little bit. Well, I wouldn't say you guys are kind of crazy anyway, but a little bit more than normal crazy. And I wanted to tell you that we'll keep it moving. So we know that you guys are in here. And I wanted to briefly talk about what we're going to be doing today and what's going on. First of all, this is a series obviously called Dwell, and we've been going through the tabernacle over the last couple weeks, and we'll continue it through the rest of the month, looking at some of the different things of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, of course, was where God came to
dwell.
To dwell or to sneeze. It's one or the other. God either came to sneeze or to dwell. I'm pretty sure it was the dwell thing, but anyway, we'll see. I just want to kind of quickly review it and talk about why what we're doing today matters. First of all, I want you to get this idea in your head. And this is this week's point, and it's brief. And that is that God's presence offers us complete and total forgiveness. God's presence offers us complete and total forgiveness. So that when it comes to the idea of our relationship with Christ, when it comes to His death on the cross, we are completely and totally forgiven. Not mostly, not partially, but completely and totally forgiven. And that's going to tie into what we're doing today. So let's kind of walk through the tabernacle. And first of all, you have been doing this. Kids, you've been doing this in Ignition. Adults, I've been walking you through this. You guys went through this map in your prime group. So I want full audience participation. Okay? That was not full audience participation. I would like full audience participation. Okay.
Okay.
All right, excellent. That is excellent. Yeah, all right. Wow, the fight broke out. Okay. So here's the tabernacle total map there. And around the outside, we know that there is a fence. And the first thing starting on this side, which would be the east side. I can never get that. I don't know my left and my right either. And anyway. Yes, I do, kids. I do know my left and my right. Your dad knows. So on the east, to get into the fence, there is a
gate.
Very good. And the gate was where people entered to come into the tabernacle. And then moving from east to the opposite of east is north. Moving east to west, we have what we talked about last week. And that is the what? I'm sorry, wait, I'm wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. But that whole open area, sorry, is called the
courtyard.
Very good, excellent. Now, moving on to that large box that is there, that was the brazen altar. Very good. We talked about that last week, and we had a really powerful moment at the end there where you guys came up, and we had this full-size replica of the altar built and sacrificed your sins with those papers on the altar. So with that in mind, and kids, this is where I want you kids. So adults, you're not allowed to answer this question, but kids in Ignition, I want to know, because we talked about the altar last week, what happened at the altar? Pastors, kids. Yes, somebody's random daughter that doesn't happen to be mine. Yes, the animals were killed. The animals were killed. Now, someone else that does not have the last name of Fitch, which is a good day for today to be Irish, eh? Anyway, Irish, eh? That's like a Canadian Irish. Somebody that is not over there in that row, why was an animal killed at the altar? Yes, Enola. To get rid of their sin, because that animal died in their place. And so we talked about last week how the death of this animal and God's presence dwelling among his people, that in order to come into God's presence, something had to die for their sin. And so that's what we talked about last week, about the altar. And on that altar, an animal was sacrificed. And that animal's blood was poured out to take away the sin of the people. But it was temporary. They had to keep doing it. And we talked, of course, last week about how Jesus died once and for all to take away our sins, because he was a perfect substitute, unlike an animal, which really isn't a good substitute for human beings. Some people are, anyway, but most people, no. Anyway, then next, going across from east to west, we've got that circular thing there with my 8-bit awesome graphics here. And that was called the laver. That was called the laver, and that is highlighted in highlation, because today we're going to be talking about the laver. So we'll come back to that in a second. Then this section there that is kind of the next like rectangle there, that was called the what?
Tabernacle proper.
That was the tabernacle proper, right, and that's what the actual tabernacle was. So if you're going in there, and I don't even know what's next here. Okay, so the north side in the tabernacle, there were three objects in what is called the holy place that is there. And the north thing, what was that called? The top table of showbread, or the table of bread of presence, right. And there was bread there, and they ate this bread, the priests did, when they were serving in the tabernacle. But it represented that God provides for their needs. And then on the, let's see, do I have that next? Yeah. On the south end, there are seven lights there that was called the menorah or lampstand. Either one is appropriate. And that was light that was burning there to light the inside of the tabernacle, because it was covered with multiple layers of fabric. And then moving on to the west, there's a smaller thing there, a smaller altar. And what was that? The altar of incense. The audience participation is lagging greatly. So we'll get you hooked. I'll get you ready for this next one so you can handle it. Okay, the altar of incense. There they burned incense, and the symbol of the incense going up represented the people's prayers to God and the priest's worship to God. And so then you had a large fabric thing dividing what was called the holy place and the most holy place, or the holy of holies it's sometimes called. And what was that large fabric called? The veil. Yeah, and we're going to talk more about the veil next week and how it ties into all of these things. Now everybody can do this. Okay? If you were born prior to 1980-ish, or even after that, I suppose this would work too. But there was a very popular movie featuring Harrison Ford as the great Indiana Jones. And the great Indiana Jones, his very first quest, at least the TV series, obviously Young Indiana Jones is different stuff, but his very first full-length feature movie quest was that he was trying to stop the Raiders of the Lost. Wait, don't answer that question. The last object in the most holy place was called the Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Very good. And that's what they were looking for in there. And the Ark of the Covenant was in what was called the most holy place. The high priest could only go in there once a year. And in the process of going in there, he had to have blood on his hands from animals and sprinkle it. And you can see the little sprinkles on top of the ark. And we'll talk more about that next week. But that was the tabernacle. And the deal with this is that God wanted to what? Say it again. Dwell among his people. And he said, look, I'm a holy, perfect God. In order to dwell among my people, there's some things that have to happen, some things that have to be done. And so this whole tabernacle was a process for how God and his people could interact. And so this morning, we're going to look at this object called the laver. And the laver, we don't know how big it was. We don't know what the size was. That's one of the only things in the description of the tabernacle that doesn't tell us much about it. It does tell us it was covered in bronze, and it had a basin, a bowl, and then a pedestal that it would sit on. And this is the instructions that God gave to Moses for building the laver. Then the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 30, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it in between the tent of meeting, also known as the tabernacle proper, and the altar, also known as the brazen altar. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. And then he goes on and says something that I can't read there. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. So let me ask you kids this. When do you have to wash your hands? Give me a time. Every day. Okay, once a day, wash your hands and you're good to go. Other things. Give me other times. Yell them out. After you go to the bathroom, after you eat, before you eat, dinner, other people that are not related to me. No, you're related to me. I live in Mifflin County, and really, I only have four people related to me, five. So, I mean, most of you, if you said that, it'd be like, everybody, I understand. I'm just kidding. But seriously, we're connected to you guys through like a marriage and a marriage. See, it doesn't even work. I'm from Delaware. Anyway, so what are some other... Now that I've offended the entire audience. What are some other times you wash your hands? Cooking food, I heard. What else? Is that it? After you play outside in the mud, yes. All right, what have you got? No, just a hand, no reason? When you eat, yes, when you eat, very good. When you touch something, okay. All right, good. So the idea is we know that today we wash our hands because you want to get rid of what? What is on your hands? It's D-I-R-T. What's that? Dirt. Dirt, right. We want to get rid of the dirt on our hands. Well, the priest, when they would go to serve in God's tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and their feet, but it wasn't because they were dirty, which they probably were, because they were part of the sacrifices and all that. But they would wash because it was a symbol to show that they were clean before God. And so they had to do this. It was a symbol to show that they were clean before God. And it represented that when this animal died and then they washed their hands from that sacrifice, that they were completely and totally forgiven. And so the idea of the labor, the idea of the washing was showing that God's presence offers us complete and total forgiveness. And when someone was washed, you know, when you wash your hands, for the most part, it gets rid of all the dirt. If you've got parents like my kids do, you know, if you come out and you say, I washed your hands and it took you like 2 seconds, I will send you back in to wash again because you didn't really wash everything off. Or if you get your hands wet, there's a difference between getting wet and getting washed. Or if you went in and say, you know what, I'm just going to wash my thumb because that's good enough, you would still have dirt and crud, especially after playing in the mud with Brian. You would have dirt and crud all over the rest of your hands. So you need to wash your whole hand. And so this was a symbol, hands and feet, everything that they were using to serve was clean before God. And so then if you jump into the New Testament, did I say this already? That God's presence offers us complete and total forgiveness. If you jump into the New Testament, there is Hebrews, is a great book that tells you a lot about the Old Testament rules of the tabernacle and the law and how they tie. Is that for me? Thank you, baby. She's my wife, if you're a guest. I don't just call random women, baby. I don't think. No. In the book of Hebrews, it has the Old Testament rules and how it ties into the New Testament. And last week we looked about how Jesus had to, how the priest had to offer over and over an animal to sacrifice, and yet Jesus came and he was the sacrifice once and for all. We are having all sorts of technical problems today. And then basically in this passage in Hebrews, which is on the screen there, he says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and that's referring to the sprinkling of the blood that was to cleanse them, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Here's the deal. When this happened in the tabernacle, when they would wash their hands and feet, it was representing that they were clean before God. And as Jesus came, and he was the perfect lamb, he was the perfect sacrifice, he died so that we could have life if we believe in him. And so then, from that moment on, the writer of Hebrews is saying that our bodies have been washed, not physically, but symbolically. We have been washed clean by Jesus. And so I want to just throw this idea out there with this idea of complete and total forgiveness. If you've trusted Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, and there's that thing, and you're like, yeah, Jesus mostly forgave, but he probably could never forgive that. I want you to understand that you are completely and totally forgiven. And so what we do as the church, Jesus told his disciples, his followers, he said, look, I want you to make more followers of me. And when you do, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to put them underwater and bring them back out. And that is a symbol that Jesus has cleansed them. And by being baptized, it was a way that people said, I am now following someone. And I've talked to you guys about this a lot before. And so we're going to have a bunch of people get baptized today. And I want you to understand, just as when the priest washed their hands and feet in the laver, it didn't actually clean them totally. It was symbolic that they were clean before God. And when we are baptizing people, when they go under this water and come back out, it is a symbol of a decision that they've already made to follow Jesus. And it's to tell everybody here, because there's a lot of friends and family, to say, look, we are following Christ. We are Christ followers, and we have been symbolically, we have been washed clean by his death for us. And so nothing's happening, like I said before. There's nothing fancy about the water. It's still hopefully warm. But it is a symbol of being cleansed totally and completely. And I love the fact that we baptize the full body, that your whole body goes under this water to say, I am clean before God. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't sin again, but it means that your sins have been completely and totally forgiven by Jesus. So we're going to celebrate this morning with some baptisms and some music back and forth. And I'm done talking. That's all you're going to get from me. And just celebrate the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, has washed us completely and totally clean. So the band has a really cool new song that ties directly into this idea. So would you stand with them and sing along?